The Single Girl's Calendar by Erin Green. Read by Kristen Atherton for Saga Egmont. Chapter 1. Thursday evening had started well.
"The air smells so different at the end of a working week," said Esme, stepping from Stylo Stationery onto a busy Birmingham street alongside her two work colleagues.
"That's your Friday night saying. Surely it doesn't apply to Thursday night too," laughed Marianne, for whom a Friday night meant a takeaway and wine, snuggled on the couch alongside her Jimmy.
"Technically, this is her Friday night," said Penny,
whose Friday night goal was 3 loads on an economy washing cycle before watching the comedy hour.
"But it's true. Smell how beautiful."
Esme inhaled deeply, filling her lungs with the possibilities of a long weekend. When invoices for premium paper, double-sided sticky tape, and multi-packs of cheap biros would be forgotten until Monday morning. A smattering of street litter flurried along the pavement as they stood contemplating Esme's plans.
"I can't believe old Steely Stylo granted you the day off," added Marianne, checking her wristwatch.
"She's deducted it from my holiday entitlement, so no fear of favouritism," corrected Esme, determined to stick to the facts.
She wasn't taking liberties. At Stylo Stationery, the aged owner, Mrs. Stylo, treated every employee in an equally harsh and abrasive manner.
"Even so, she must be softening in her old age," said Penny, adjusting her scarf. "Maybe we should all ask for long weekends come our anniversaries."
"Like she cares about me and Andrew," said Esme, attempting to control her lengthy auburn locks in the spring breeze.
"She cares for no one," said Penny.
7 years tomorrow, who'd have thought it?" laughed Esme.
"Not me," Marianne laughed as her dark fringe blew about.
"Exactly, so I need to make the most of it."
Esme blushed in anticipation.
"You never know. He might not need your assistance. He might have pulled his finger out and organised a big surprise all by himself," said Penny, having glanced at Marianne.
"I doubt it. He'd forget his own birthday if I didn't do a countdown. But tonight could be the night."
"Look at you, jumping the gun. He'll only be disappointed if he doesn't ask," warned Marianne,
buttoning her coat against the March chill.
"Most men need an arm up their back or an unexpected pregnancy to force them into marriage. Take my Jimmy. 12 years of dating and still nothing."
All three women shook their heads, knowing the tale of woe which would follow. Each was word perfect in their practiced lines for the retelling of Marianne's one and only proposal story.
"You ruined your chances by pushing your luck," began Penny.
"Really?"
said Esme in a bewildered tone, feigning interest, much like a first-time listener.
"I made an appointment with the vicar. Tea and sponge cake arranged," explained Marianne.
"All proper and above board, then?"
asked Penny, knowing her lines.
"I drove us to the local church and then, bam, delivered the ultimatum. Marry me or else," announced Marianne,
her cheeks flushed with embarrassment.
"Such a beautiful declaration of love," said Esme,
her eyelashes fluttered at Marianne.
"Who'd have thought such a proposal could be perceived as a tad too pushy?" said Penny.
"Exactly,"
giggled Esme.
"Wasn't it your fairy tale dream?"
Marianne nodded in a comedic fashion. Her maturity enabled her to laugh at herself, unlike 5 years ago.
"I've lost count of the nights I dreamt of him springing such a gallant gesture, driving me to church and booking our wedding date."
"Locking himself inside your car and performing a one-man sit-in for 8 hours while you pleaded with the vicar was a definite cry for help," said Penny.
"A definite answer, though,"
said Esme, who hugged her friend.
"The vicar was none too chuffed given his wasted sponge cake and tea platter," said Marianne, adding,
"Seriously, Esme, joking aside,